back on the fan, 888-808-1019. My favorite part of that last commercial break was hearing BT and Hoff discuss the costumes and how they're going to do it. Oh, I'm going to look good and this and that. What all the stuff you guys were discussing there. This is going to be so much fun. I love it. The brother love character getting into that, BT. Hoff is pumped about his Papa Shango thing, so there's a lot going on there. As far as the perfect parlay pick segment and the payoff, we're looking forward to it, which will be, by the way, paid off on the Friday, the final football Friday of the season, the Friday before the Super Bowl. So we could look forward to that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ben is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Listening
to you on Odyssey. You guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to get your take on, I mean, I think it's the best move they can make is to figure out a trade down with the Patriots to get Joe Milton. I mean, this guy's a stud. He's got all the measurables. He checks all the boxes you guys were talking about as far as upside, physical attributes, talent. And I'll give you one more value presentation, I guess, if you will. He can help unlock Jalin Hyatt as well. Those two have big chemistry. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. I mean, I feel like that's our smartest move. I feel like that'll make Daboll and Joe Schoen look like geniuses coming out of this draft.
Yeah, if it works. You know, that's... Hey, listen, it's not bad. And thanks for the call. It's not bad. I think that the answer for the Giants, I said this to Sal the other day, I know we're all searching for the conventional answer, like, okay, you draft first or second or third, you draft that guy, boom, and as your quarterback for 15, 18, 20 years like Eli... How often does that happen? Once a lifetime? You know,
right.
Certainly in our town, the Packers are a little different. That's about it. The Niners back in the day with Montana and Steve Young, that's about it. So I think the answer very well might be an unconventional answer. And was anybody thinking about Joe Milton a week ago?
No.
From the Giants' perspective?
No. So then
he
comes into the game and he lights it up and looks good. Now all of a sudden, and there are reports that the Patriots are receiving multiple... here's the actual report that I'm seeing. You're hearing multiple. This is from Steve Palazzolo, who I'm not sure who that is on social media.
Not Steve Palazzolo?
No, Palazzolo.
I don't know him.
Whoever. The dude, Steve. Come on. This guy's called Joe Shane, Joe Sean. I'm like, I can't correct him because I get names wrong all the time. Hearing multiple quarterback needed teams have inquired about Patriots QB Joe Milton. So, look, if Shane and Dable identify Milton as somebody that they believe can be a franchise quarterback, I would be just as excited about him, if not more excited about him, than I would about any of the top three quarterbacks coming out of the draft. That's the type of guy that I want. Somebody with potential to be the franchise quarterback, not to mention somebody that can move like Milton. So there's a lot of reason to be excited about that if he is available. Now, there's also a buyer beware. Remember Matt Flynn many years ago?
Yes,
where he comes into the final game of the year, throws
five touchdowns, or maybe even six that day, and he got paid.
It was some ridiculous
number. Seattle paid him.
Was that Favre or Rodgers? I don't remember. It was that long ago.
I think that was Rodgers. Wait, hold on. That was Favre. Wait, hold on.
Matt Flynn, I mean, you're going back years.
Because then Flynn signed with Seattle.
Probably was Rodgers, right.
And then Russell Wilson won the job in Seattle right away as a rookie.
So it had to be Rodgers.
And that was 2011. Yes,
yeah,
that would have been Aaron Rodgers. That
was
Rodgers. Yes,
yeah,
that was Rodgers.
Anyway, it's that long ago that it had to jog my memory again. But point is, Matt Flynn takes over the final game of the year in a meaningless game, throws five, six touchdowns, whatever it was, gets a big contract. So you be careful.
Uh-huh.
But still, this would be a young quarterback that you're not going to be giving big money to. You'd be trading for him.
Dude, he's 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
I didn't think Joe Milton was that big.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I didn't even know anything about
him. I've never seen him at Tennessee.
And then I was watching a little bit of those games and the highlights and seeing that he was in there. And it looked pretty good. And I can see why people are going nuts about him on social media on Sunday. John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, fellas? BT,
yo.
You know I love you, and I would love to see you in a Papa Shango outfit, but I guess I got to go with Brother Love.
Yeah,
I got to come at you a little bit, man, because every time you talk about a quarterback, I get a little cringe. I get a little cringe, man, because you talk about Drew Allen like you were talking about Zach Wilson for the last 2-3 years. As a Giants fan, I want no parts of Drew Allen because you got to think about it from this perspective. A lot of the rookie quarterbacks that have been successful over the last few years, they've had a lot of snaps under center in college.
Yep.
Drew Allen, he's not done yet.
I know.
He needs to go back. And so if you're the Giants, you can't be messing around trying to give the starter spot to a guy that only started for 1 year, or at least have 1 year of good tape in college.
Well, John, think about this. I'm not saying that you – first of all, I don't even know if Drew Aller is going to come out. And I appreciate the call, John. I appreciate the pushback. I don't think that you're wrong, but I also don't think that you heard me incorporate that. He is very raw. He has not made a lot of starts. He's made 28 college starts, and that is not a ton. And there's some real evidence out there, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Sam Darnold before he had this renaissance here with the Vikings. You know, Mark Sanchez back in the day, that's something Pete Carroll talked about with Mark Sanchez. He hasn't played a whole lot of football, and that is something that's been more of a point of emphasis. All I'm saying with Drew Aller is tonight, from a Giants perspective, you sit down and you hope that he just balls out. Because if he does, it just expands the options the Giants have. I'm not saying you definitely take him,
right,
but it might mean Tennessee takes him.
Correct.
Or the Browns take him. Or you could take him. Or you can now trade out because somebody wants a third quarterback who, up until maybe tonight, isn't thought to be a top three or top five pick. That's all I'm saying.
If Drew Aller enters the draft, it guarantees that the Giants will have their option. If Drew Aller enters the draft, it guarantees that the third pick of the draft could select a quarterback.
Correct, without having to move up.
Correct. So either they take who's left, or they trade out to have somebody that loves who's left.
Yes.
Well, however,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's a huge, huge thing.
And he's 6'5", 240, and half these people are wrong half the time, but he throws the hell out of it. There's no question about his arm talent. He is big, he is strong, and he can throw it. Now, the other stuff, I don't know.
Right, but it's not
I got to watch him more.
Yeah, agreed. And I can't wait to watch the game tonight. And it's not even just about Drew Aller, though, because he might go number one.
Yeah.
We honestly don't know. We could talk about the speculation and Cam Ward going number one, and people think Sanders may be number two, although Deion doesn't want him to go to Cleveland. Whatever it may be, Aller may not be there for the Giants, so you don't have to worry about that. But if he's not, then you could get a pick of the other quarterback that would be left between Ward or Sanders. And if they don't love either, to your point, then you could trade down a little bit, still get the player that you identify to be the best in the draft, and get another draft pick or two in addition to that, which would be the home run move. Cameron is in Sarasota, Florida. What's up, Cameron?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Cameron?
Good. So, I was thinking about this situation a lot over the last few days, and I think the key here is to not trade a bunch of future assets to move up in the draft. Now, under the assumption that the Titans and Browns are looking at a quarterback, right? If you're Joe Shane, you don't want to trade all these future assets for a quarterback. We are a quarterback needy team. I think you get a stopgap with Fields. I like that option.
Mm-hmm.
Stable has worked with athletic quarterbacks, right? He's not a perfect passer by any means. But you can't – where teams get into trouble is they force a rookie quarterback into a bad situation.
Or they overinflate. Right?
Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes, 100%. We've seen it a million times in this city alone. The other thing they do
–
Cameron, and thanks for the call. What they do additionally, which compounds it, first of all, they overinflate what the player is to fit the need. That's mistake number one. And then mistake number two is they thrust them into the games, into the situation way too early out of desperation, whether it's ownership kind of breathing down their neck or the fans getting restless or trying to salvage a season, which means they can salvage their own job status and security. There's a lot of reasons why quarterbacks fail. Those are just a couple of them.
It's been multiple. And I think even in the case of both these New York teams recently, it was different how the Jets set up Zach Wilson to fail versus how Daniel Jones failed. Daniel Jones' first year was that of a rookie quarterback with promise. It wasn't one that said, oh my God, you're throwing him to the Wolves and he's overmatched and looks disastrous. It was he's a little bit of a turnover machine, but there was reason to believe that Daniel Jones could be the guy. I never felt like he was thrown to the Wolves or overmatched. The way that Zach Wilson was set up to fail with a rookie head coach who's a defensive mind, a rookie offensive coordinator after the passing, unfortunately, of Greg Knapp, and then Zach Wilson in New York with that franchise with nothing else around him. So there were different circumstances to screw them both up. And back to the Justin Fields point, I was thinking about this, and that's why there was a little bit of hesitation in my response to him. What was Daniel Jones, what ended up being Daniel Jones' greatest strength as a quarterback?
His legs.
What is Justin Fields' greatest strength?
His legs.
Okay, so other than the potential price, right, which they committed, $40 million a year to Daniel Jones,
mm-hmm.
you're almost getting yourself in the same spot. Like, Justin Fields and Daniel Jones are very similar quarterbacks in my mind. Neither can throw the football well enough, or at least neither have proven that they can throw the football consistently or well enough to have ultimate success.
Yeah, the biggest problem for me with Daniel Jones was not that he couldn't throw it beyond, you know, 12, 15 yards. He just wouldn't. I mean, think about the flea flicker that they had out in Germany.
Yeah.
And you had two guys wide open. We saw the film.
I know.
Like, now, was that because he was in his own head? He wasn't quite doing that as a rookie when he was airing it out a little bit more. So he just had to get out of here. I think that the other thing, too, that you would get, and the more I think about this, the more I really do like Fields, unless they just love Aller or somebody else that falls to him at three in the draft, is that, you know, he's going to be a lot cheaper. Like, if they bring in Justin Fields this year, they're not giving him $40 million. Now, they're not going to give him $7 or $8 million like Tyrod Taylor's backing up Aaron Rodgers this year, but they're going to, he's probably going to get 15, 18, 20, some incentives, whatever. And if he hits the incentives, you don't mind. Hey, here's the bottom line. This is what I need from the Giants quarterback in 2025. I need some juice.
Right.
I need at least a guy who's got a little wiggle.
Something to watch.
Who got a little charisma. I mean, enough with the Tommy DeVito nonsense. Would everybody stop? Yeah, he's the future of the Giants. Okay.
Well, who's saying that? There's only one guy that says that.
It's really Loogie. The most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Tommy DeVito. And I'm rooting for the kid. Stop. It's crazy. I mean, he might be coaching Cedar Grove High School before he's actually a star in the NFL. Oh. He should no, and that's not disrespect. Yeah, yeah. That's, to me, just evaluating his skill set. I just don't think he has it to be a starter. I don't mean a backup. So you got to obviously upgrade this. I mean, and Drew Lock, whatever, he is what he is. Once a year, he plays very well. Get a young kid out there who's going to just let it hang a little bit. And I think Justin Fields is going to do that. I think if Dable can unlock him just a little bit more, there's something there with him.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, get you down with the King topic of the day, and it is, of course, the Giants quarterback conversation. We'll also get in some baseball next hour as well. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.